and welcome to Quality of Life Radio, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
I love the gong. Every time I hear that, I get excited. But you know what? Welcome, everybody, to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa here. And I'm very excited to have Bobby DePorta back on our show, you know, because really this last year has been kind of a crazy one for all of us, not across just across the country, but around the world in so many circumstances, COVID, hurricanes, wildfires. I don't want to go through all the mess of it. But one of the biggest things, challenges, has been education. And, you know, education has been a rough thing just to get it done correctly around the world and across the country for so long. And this year really just kind of threw that out there and like, hey, now kids can't be in school. Now they have to be at home. Suddenly everyone has to be online. Some people can, some people can't. Even teachers are like scrambling going, okay, now prepare all this to be online. And then suddenly, wait, you're going back into school. No, sorry, back home again. So it's been a really hard time for everyone. And part of the whole thing that makes it hard is that vacation isn't there. And you can get through a lot of things. Nancy and I have been through a lot of things, wildfires and all that, like I was saying. And the one thing you could rely on is connecting with other people to make things happen. And when you don't have that personal touch, it kind of, in a word, sucks. And so I'm very excited to have Bobby DePorta. Nancy, I know you are too. Mm-hmm. Bobby has been on our show for years, and she is one of the top education experts in the country. She is the co-founder of SuperCamp. She is the president of Quantum Learning Network, the creator of the 8 Keys of Excellence. You've heard us talk about this on the show for years, and the author of a number of books, including The 7 Biggest Teen Problems and How to Turn Them into Strengths. The latest one is Excellence in Teaching and Learning, the Quantum Learning System, that she wrote with Barbara K. Given, and The 8 Keys of Excellence. I could go on and on and on, but we'll be here all night with all the books that she's written and co-written. But we're going to talk about today what can we do online in regards to education, because it's been a really powerful tool to get people back, get kids on track, and then at the same time, it's been a very difficult tool to maneuver. So they have some amazing programs at SuperCamp immediately put into place, online education programs that get kids to actually connect and learn how to learn and learn how to learn online. They're really good about teaching. SuperCamp has been like the top in regards to teaching kids how to study and how to learn, how to make decisions. And it's all of the basis of the 8 Keys of Excellence. They've taken it online. And right now, I think it's really important that everyone understands how to use it properly so that there is that emotional connection. I know that when the Zoom video thing happens, I want to duck my face under the table, man. Come on. I don't want to see my face in there. Are you kidding me? Seriously. So, you know, this is not just the kids' problem. It's the adult problem. We all have that. But there's emotional strength that we can gain through the online platform if we just listen to Bobby and some of their programs. So welcome back, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Nice to be back.
Hey,
nice for the connection.
Yeah.
You know,
Nancy and I, we're the worst people of photographs. Like, you know, I was taken off Facebook of all this drama stuff of being hacked and everything. Came back on and everyone's like, well, you need a new profile photo. I'm like, no. I'll take your photo, but you ain't taking mine. I'm under the table. And people take it all the time. And I want to, that's why we have Priscilla the Sock Monk travel mascot. We want to hide behind her, like, right, Nancy? So I wonder about.
We've always kind of said what we do is not about us. It's about all the people we interview and represent. So it's kind of like, no.
No, we're the people behind the camera.
Yeah.
But when it comes to online learning, I wonder how many students feel that same way as we feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, most students in school, we hear, you know, from teachers that most of them do have their cameras off. And so, yeah, that's another whole kind of topic is how we get them to engage and just get to know each other. So important.
I think even for teachers, they had a whole problem. Like suddenly, what I have to be on, like it's different. No matter what, it's different because if you're talking with someone, you're just talking with someone. But then suddenly, you're seeing yourself talk to someone. So that's what the online thing has got a different vibe on it, which is it's awkward, but it can be utilized and really be done well. And I know you guys at Super Camp turned around immediately. I remember the immediate shutdown. You turned around and like, that's it. We're doing online programs right now to get kids involved and teaching them how to learn as you always do. And everyone go to supercamp.com. That's the website for that. And then the online programs that are still continuing on, not only for students, but also parents and teachers, you can go to qluniverse.com. But Bobby, let's just go back to Super Camp for a minute because, you know, we always have new listeners. Super Camp is, what, almost 40 years old, right?
This is our 40th summer. It's, like, so hard to believe.
Wow. Wow.
That's a long time. Wow.
I know. I'm waiting for the third generation. You know, we've, for a long time now, have had parents that send their own children. We'll just wait for the next round.
Yeah. So over 40 years, and this is what's been unique about you, is you take students, come fly in around, and this is internationally, not just in our country, but internationally, where students go live on a campus for what, 7 to 10 days, teens and preteens, learn about how to really take in knowledge before they go to college, right? And even would students go even if they're not looking at going to college?
Yeah, it's having a college experience, which is beneficial, I believe, for all students because living in a dorm, getting to know other students, you know, going to the cafeteria, meeting from people from all over the world. We know that we've been doing this so long and people stay in touch, you know, and so we've even had people get married that went to Super Camp. So we've been doing it for so long. It's a lot about relationship and really learning about yourself. Going really deep in who you are, and when you focus on, you know, what you believe in, what do you value, what are your strengths, what are your interests in life, and who else shares those interests, and you know yourself so strong that there's a confidence and you have the courage to express. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things of Super Camp is to feel good about who you are, that you feel you are enough. Too many kids feel they're not enough. Everybody's smarter than me. Everybody's this. I'm not enough. But to just go in and really appreciate who you are and really work on being your best self because no matter what your skills or strengths are, when you're working on your best self and that's your intention, you know, people gravitate to you. They want to get to know you when they know this is somebody who's just being authentic, being their best self and just expressing who they are and reaching out and connecting. And you want to connect with a person like that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And the other thing, too, you know, with Super Camp and having these, you're basically giving life skills. That's really, I think, Super Camp gives life skills, but one of them is really understanding how to take content in. But you can't take content in without having that connectivity, right? And that's kind
you're
of
right.
The thing about what's going on right now with all the online learning is, this is great. It's an awesome, awesome tool. We know online education isn't going away. It's going to build even more for adults, for teens, you know, preteens. This is a way of life that's going to continue on. But if we don't understand how to take the information in and have that emotional connection, we're not going to make it work.
Yeah, it's been challenging. You know, some teachers are having an easier time than others. Some it's real foreign to of what they're doing. So we're learning. And what's going on now, it's like we've got to get it right because it's not going away. You know, the new normal is going to be some relationship or some adaptation of online learning that is going to continue. So anything that's changed, you know, can be uncomfortable. And we look at what doesn't work about it and can complain about what doesn't work, and we can look to see how do we improve it and look about what can work and can work better. Can you imagine if we didn't have online learning right now? Students would just be home with no connection.
That is why when you first, I remember Nancy and I were, you know, quarantined and we're in the shutdown process. We've not had COVID. Nancy and I, you know, touch wood, we've been so careful, and I'm like amazed. We've been really good and lucky. And California, we were for 3 months, we couldn't leave. And I remember you just, that's it, we're going online. Here we go immediately, because we can reach out. And it's not just nationally, this is an international reach out that you are able to do, which SuperCamp has always done. I mean, SuperCamp started in Moscow or Kenya? Which one? I can't remember which one was
our very, very first one was in Moscow. We've been in Kenya, but that's our first, very first SuperCamp in 1990, the first international SuperCamp. So what's that, almost 30 years ago now?
Yeah.
Amazing. Wow. And Moscow was the Soviet Union and a very different time. So we went into that culture, and then that same summer we also went to Singapore, a very different culture. And we always thought, are we going to have to adapt SuperCamp, or what do we do to honor and respect and fit in different cultures? But what we found is that, you know, SuperCamp works with students. You know, when I remember going to Europe, and it was very conservative school we were going to, and it's like, okay, you know, okay, well, we'll tone it down a little. We'll be, what I'm trying to think of the word, just more sequential or something we were doing. Just, you know, it was like, okay, respect what they're doing. And we're just in it only a half a day. And every time we do a little something, let's do more of that. We do something, let's do more of that. And it's like, you know, just less than a day, we're just doing the exact same super camp. And the students, you know, the came back and said, what a wonderful program and life-changing that was. So it works everywhere. And we have many international kids that come to the U.S. as our program, and then we have programs in 14 countries now. Not right at this moment, because everyone else is shut down as well, but as soon as we're open up again, and then people come from different countries to go to those programs.
I think it's neat that you're doing that, because I think at the end of the day, it's the same thing as, you know, it's an old adage of love has no boundaries, right? And so it's the same thing in emotion. I know we're not talking about love and romance, but it's the truth, and it doesn't have to be romantic love. It's about connectivity, and people can make friends no matter where they are, and no matter if they have two different languages. It's about connectivity and body language. So that's that thing, you know, and I think right now, when you look at online education, and there is a shift inside a household, and I know that there is a struggle for internet in some areas and in some minority areas where, and I really hate the word minority. I wish we could just throw that out, because it's just no one's minor than anybody else. So just saying, I just really don't like that word. But there are areas where people do not have a strong enough internet, but a voice can carry, you know, we want the connectivity of the audio visual and the visual there, but a voice can carry if there's interaction, right? So I wonder about that too, if it's going to, in a way where there's more interactive, like what we do with a radio show, you can turn around and, you know, talk over me anytime. We talk over everyone all the time.
Hello.
Are you there, Nancy? I just want to make sure. I know Nancy disappeared for a second. You're there? You can talk over me.
I'm here.
Okay. So, I mean,
you just asked my husband, Joe, you know, he'll comment, I'm with a friend and we're talking over each other. And he looks at me and it's like, no, we've got the pattern down. We know how to do this.
Oh, man. But, yeah, do you think just even a voice can do it, like, for those who may not have the video thing, that there is that?
Absolutely. You know, there's a place for all of it, and it's our tonality and our energy. You know, when you hear the voice, you're creating pictures in your mind as well. You know, then story time, I mean, it's definitely a strong element. Mm. And we want to make the most of every element there is. You know, we talk about voice and different tones and what you're representing, because is it more of a story tone you're doing? Is it you're giving directions and you want to be clear with your voice and simple steps? Is it a leadership role where there's just a more confident voice that comes across?
Mm.
So it does represent a lot of different areas.
I know with your book, The Seven Biggest Teen Problems and How to Turn Them into Strengths, you have an article that we've cut up and that we're going to be, you know, showcasing bit by bit over the years, you know, just one segment at a time, because it's seven, you know, issues. And so what I want to do is talk about the first one that you connect. It's all about emotional engagement, and I think that's really important. You know, I even think about families that have, you know, maybe someone's out, you know, military families where a husband or wife is off on base somewhere or in a different country. They have to still be able to create that rapport. And that's kind of what we're dealing with now, I believe, is that kind of situation, you know?
Right. It's that understanding, too. One is, especially with a student or your own child, it's really listening. Listening intently, because what a gift to have somebody just listen to you when you think, especially of a child, you know, a friend that's up, you know, has something either they're excited about or it's an upset. If you just sit and look and listen to understand, you know, and comment back, that's just a wonderful gift. And for parents to children, you know, that goes a long way.
Yeah, you talk about in this article, you know, it's about listening, but also getting to put yourself in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that an entire family, and then I think this is an important thing, especially right now over winter season, we're all holed up together, you know, that's an important thing for the entire family to come together, like the kids, put yourself in your parents' shoes. You know, I think this is an important thing for everyone to be able to move forward, because everyone has disruption. Routines and traditions are kind of thrown out the window right now. And that's part of the hard thing.
Have to create new ones. New ones that fit into our life now, you know, and make it fit. And you have to search for it, because we take things for granted day by day. Oh, what don't I have? What am I not able to do? You know, so that you get stuck. And you have to recreate, you know, is it, well, we can't go to the movies as a family, so we do nothing, you know, rather than, oh, can we go for a walk in nature, you know, which is,
ooh.
So yeah, one of your favorites, one of, so important, but just think about what it is that you can do, rather than focusing on what you can't, just really getting creative. You know, my whole family, we live all across the U.S., and it's, you know, before the shutdown, Joe and I would go and we'd visit and, you know, spend time with them. And especially on holidays, we'd always fly somewhere to be with family. Mm-hmm. But now with one thing, you know, we have family Zoom, and it's like every single person can come on and be there. Thanksgiving,
yeah.
We were all together, and we were from six different states. And it was
awesome.
Just my children and their children, and we were in six states, and we just, you know, spend an hour together. Some of us were eating, some weren't. You know, that was Thanksgiving. So, you know, and that's going to continue. If we can still get together in person, it's very unlikely that we're going to get 100% of our family together at one time in one conversation, you know,
right,
without using technology.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the thing. There's some positives to this. You know, it's like I always say, like, you know, when Nancy and I travel the country, you know, we love doing our in-person interviews. We've done shows with you over in Quantum Learning Conference Center with you in Oceanside in person. And we love that, because that's that in-person, like, oh, we can just look at each other and know what we're all going to do. You know what I mean? There's that vibe.
Yes.
But, you know, the reality is we can't drive to Oceanside every week. And we can't connect with our friends in South Africa on a show, or, you know, and to me, I think technology has allowed us to have this connectivity. Without technology, I wouldn't be able to find my friends in South Africa when a lot of us had to leave and all kinds of stuff. You know, it's like there's a lot that technology has done. And even the social media platforms, I could get mad as I want on Facebook because of the issues I had, but I'm back on there and going, okay, and that's how I found my friends. And, you know, so there's a, you just have to make the most of it. And I think that's, you know, the best, what you're saying, it's like, okay, can't do this. Well, what are we going to do now? And this year, Nancy and I have learned that more than ever, being on the road as full-time travelers, we've had to shift and change by the hour, literally, at times. I mean, it's like you think you're going here and suddenly stop, like, okay, now where are we going? You just look at each other and go, I have no clue. And you're supposed to air a live radio show like in 40 hours. What? I don't know where we are. You know, and you have to make the most of it. And I think in a way, it's been hard. It's been dragged out. But we are kind of coming together and coming to terms. And it is about now, like, okay, how can we dig in deep and make the most of it and move forward? Because it's not going to be the same. It's not the same. This whole pandemic thing, we all know, can happen again. This is a new way of life. I don't like the new normal thing, but it's a true thing. So we're going to have to dig deep and now get past. It's almost like get past the emotional drama of it and now get going. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I do think about the students, because that's our world, you know, learning and teaching and what we can do with to make the most of the experience for the children. And I think, believe that the social connection is just so, so important. What we teach in our quantum learning training in schools and such is we first focus on the culture. It's the atmosphere, the positivity, the trust, the relationships, the traditions, the all the things that we do to create a nurturing in culture, environment where I feel comfortable and want to participate. And so the term is used now more than ever a lot, and culture is always important. We've been teaching it for 40 years and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's looking at how do you adapt that for, you know, where we are online, where so many kids are feeling isolation. And I think that's one of the hardest is the isolation that they feel. And we know from a lot of teachers that a lot of students are not even coming on the classes or they come on late. And part of it's technology, internet problems. But there's also those that just use that as an excuse or just don't come on. But we want kids to want to. We always say, oh, I have to or I need to. But where we want to get to is really kids saying, I want to. And that's what we do on our online programs. We spend so much time listening to the students and hearing about who they are, their story, what do they want, what are they interested in. A big one is know their world. It's like know what they're interested in, know what their concerns are. I know one of our facilitators got on there just about video games. What's your favorite? What are you doing? Something to create that rapport, getting back to rapport again, that, you know, they got on and then they started to learn things about the other students. Well, then they didn't want to miss a day because one of the other kids may say something that then if they're not on, they wouldn't hear. So we got them to the place of wanting to get on. And then we just spent a lot of time on connecting and who are they. And during that, then when we're teaching them a strategy, a skill of something to learn, you know, they're all bought in. They're all there. And then they're willing to, you know, participate. Or we ask a question, willing to answer the question. Now the so many of the students are hiding and not answering, and I know that there's lots of statistics on the learning loss. It's what's happening. And my thing is, let's create more connection. Let's really work on the social, emotional part of the students where they do feel enough and they do feel good about themselves and they're learning more about themselves when they're interested in it. You know, we went down, we don't teach math and English and history, but we teach about you, how you can be your best self. These are lifelong skills you're going to learn. So, you know, that when we do that, then they're ready to learn the math and the history because, you know, they feel heard. They feel I'm part of the group. I feel accepted.
I'm important. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And I think one of the biggest, most important things we all have to learn in life is that we belong here. We mean something. Each one of us means something. And it's actually, it goes into mental health. And that's what I'm worried about this year. Just this may be airing in 2021, so 2020 is the year I'm talking about. The rate of suicide calls, call center calls, and just the mental health of it all. And I think about students that may be going to a home where they're alone all the time, and maybe they're already the isolated child. So the mental health issues that are developing from not being having this inclusive community, I feel like the classes should be more of a community place where it's hard and like for teachers and students to have that balance of, okay, we still have a community. Like school should be a community and you are a valued person of the community. And that's what it should be. And the household should be the same way. The neighborhood should be the same way. It is about community at the end of the day. And community means that everybody gets to have a voice in some way. And it's about having that structure so that everyone does have the voice. So when they know that they have a voice, so it's not everybody scream out at once. It is about, here's the structure. Here's the foundation. Our foundation is, we got you. We care about you. You are inclusive. But that structure is important. I think that's what you guys at Supercamp really bring to the table, is letting kids know no matter what, you could be walking on broken foundation, you have you. That's your foundation. But the community is a crucial thing in learning, I think.
Yeah, it is. They learn so much and they want to live it. They're living in a community and they need to, how do you participate in the community and make a difference there? And you had said about the structure that's so important. In our system, we have what we call set a strong foundation, and it's setting the policies and procedures, and this is how we're going to interact with each other. We're going to live by the 8 keys of excellence. Okay, we've got all that down, then the student can feel safe. Oh, I know how to act in this class. I know the procedures. I know how to... You know, I know what to expect, and then they feel that's the community. I'm part of this classroom community, and I'm on the inside. I know how it works. I know how the structure is. Now I feel safe. They feel safe with that type of structure, and if they don't know how they're supposed to act or do, then that creates that unsafeness and also could, you know, cause some behavior that's not appropriate because they don't, you know, no one ever told me,
me. That's my way of dealing with it. That's my way of controlling it. Or I'm just going to do it this. It's, I'm going to be flamboyant or I'm not, or it could go in a way that could really be sour after too long of a time. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's important that they're really part of this, really part of what's going on with the online. And I wonder, Bobby, have you seen any statistics in regards to kids feeling like they're in the way? Like if parents are also suddenly having to do stuff at home, that's the thing. Parents are at home. Kids are at home. There's no real end in sight right now. People are talking vaccines, but we don't know. You know what I mean? And by the time this airs, a vaccine could happen, but who's going to take one? We don't know. You know what I mean? So it's still, no matter what, this is not a – nothing's immediately going to be fixed. Right? Mm-hmm. So when you think, and we all know online is going to continue on. Parents, families are learning, hey, I can do more at home than go to work. And businesses are realizing that too. Kids are going, hey, well, you know what? Especially when, you know, I can go and do a college degree online. You know, so I wonder a lot of that's going to go happen. So some kids are going, hey, if this is my way, I'm going to do that. It might be more economical for me. So I think the whole thing is in a big shift, but in a household, there has to have this balance. And I wonder about kids feeling like they're in the way of their parents because they now suddenly have these needs that normally they go off to school.
Yeah, that parent-child relationship is so important now, and there has been a lot of frustration. You know, you feel patriotic and you're at home and you're helping your kids learn as you're doing your own job and we can do this, and you think it's going to be a couple of weeks and, oh my gosh, it's a couple of months. And now, you know, we'll be going on a year, you know, with pretty strong impact. So, and that starts to okay, I'm over this. I'm tired of this now, you know. Staying with it. But the statistics are, there's a McKinsey report out just on the impact of COVID on learning. And they talk about that prolonged periods of remote learning do have rise in depression and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And we have suicide hotline calls or I've heard some staggering statistics on that. But it's the doing remote learning the right way, you know, and I say the right way, but it's a way that kids feel more connected and nurtured, not isolated. And that's what we need to really focus on. But they say the learning loss, which they measure in math and reading, that when they started the school year of September, they said they were 3 months behind, and that's kind of like summer learning loss or spring and summer learning loss. And now they predict by the end of this school year that there'll be from 5 to 12 months of substantial loss. And
wow.
And that's where I get, well, why don't we spend this time working more on learning about self and social emotional? You know, because it's really hard with the content to really make gains in that area. It's like, oh, I have to get all this content out. Well, if the students aren't learning it, it's a checkbox. You know, I got X amount of content out the door. But
yeah.
The real test is, and they're not, you know, doing testing so much now either. It's just such a strange time. You know, even you talk about this hybrid back and forth, back and forth. I got an email this morning that there was an emergency board meeting of our school district because they had in person for elementary, and then they had some hybrid, and they said as of Monday they're 100% shut down again. So it's that fast, you know, that you're trying to maneuver, and that plays on your emotions. You know, you just get to a place, oh, I can do this. Okay, I've got the rhythm, and then they just pull the rug out, and it's different again overnight.
Well, I think that's where you have to create your own foundation and structure. I know. You know, Nancy and I being on the road, I mean, I mean, everybody's had a whole bunch of change this year. You know, I can only speak for ourselves right now, like what we've been through. And we have been through literally, we've driven through tropical storms, gone through hurricanes, had to shift and change as we're about to run a story, run an interview that we recorded. The next day I had to pull it the day it's supposed to air because of a wildfire going through the town, and then had to pull another thing because another wildfire. I mean, I can't even tell you like what it's been like in regards to when you talk about pushing content out. That is, you can't, not without any emotional context. And that's the same even in the world of the news and the media. You've got to have an emotional context. I mean, unless you're a journalist doing straight up news, right? That's different. And I won't go into that because that gets all different thing. But I'm talking about just in general, just pushing stuff out means you're just pushing stuff out. There's no quality. That means you are now a factory with the same thing. And are you looking at quality at the end result? And one day your machine's going to break down and you aren't even going to care because it's boring. It's like the same when I was a kid, teenager. Yeah, turned 20, I don't know, 20, 21, tried to sell cars, and they put me in a car lot, and I just thought it'd be interesting because I thought everybody said it was an industry, and I was like, well, let me go check it out, and I did, and I was bored. I stood on a lot, and car lot, bored, and at the end of the day, I couldn't care if someone came in or out, and that's how I feel. If we just keep pushing stuff out, that's how people are going to get. It's just like, who cares now? We're going to become a who cares society. Let's just do to survive. Let's hope we get a stimulus check. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I feel like it can happen with adults, but if we can't let that spill onto the kids, and yet they're going to have to go through it together. We're all going to have to go through that together. We're all going to have to redevelop, basically, the entire world.
It's a shift out there. It's just a... upended our lives, you know. And they talk about other disasters that have happened, but it's usually all focused in an area too. And this pandemic being so worldwide talk about it could take years to recover the impact of this. So, and thinking about our youth and students in school now, you know, it's that generation. I'm sure they're going to name the generation that were in school during this pandemic, you know, and how they go through life.
Well, I think they'll actually, honestly, going through bad things makes you stronger. Honestly, it does. Like a lot of times, I mean, I have been through so much of it. I'm not talking flippantly at all. Just as a youth, I have, and I've lived through different countries. I've had guns in my head. I've had all kinds of weird things. Now, that at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that's what everybody's going to go through, and I don't want them to. COVID is one of those things in life we're going to have to adapt. There's adapting, right? There's adapting, but we also have to turn around and be stronger and make it what we can do and understand flexibility. So I want to talk about the 8 keys of excellence because I think that is, I know we're going to talk about it on another show, but real quick, talk about those 8 keys because I think this is it, live in the now, is so crucial, and the flexibility key of excellence is so crucial. These two things, when you go through a situation, you can turn to a key and change your mind and go, okay, this is the key I need to play today or right now in this situation. That's the beauty about the keys. I've used them. Nancy's used them on the road and as we do in life. Once we learn them, they become part of your language and an internal dialogue that you have about what you're going to do to make a shift when you need to. But you got to keep integrity at the core. And that's the foundation you guys really have created at SuperCamp. And I love that you're online. And I love that you're able to bring people together online and make it work so teachers and schools can, you know, schools can be part of these programs. But let's go to the 8 keys because that really is crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought up ones that stand out for me in the situation too, is that this is it, make the most of every moment. Because when I think about any moment, I'm just fine. You know, there's not so much difference if I just think, where am I? Right now I'm sitting and I've got some coffee on the side and I'm sitting here talking with you, you know, that's not so different. We've been doing this for years.
So, yeah.
You know, if you're just in the moment, I'm good right here, you know, talking with you. So when we just keep those moments in mind rather than thinking about the past and the future, you know, with our emotions connected. So with my emotional state is in a very good state, you know, sitting here talking with you. So when we're in the moment, there's no fear.
Right.
If you're truly in the moment, there's no fear. And then, of course, flexibility. And I don't want to ever be, in my mind, I think about, I want to say almost flippant with it, you know, because, oh, you have to be flexible. But it's a different mindset, isn't it? I mean, it comes up so often and it's deep and it's real. It's like, no, is there another way for me to do this? Just really thinking about forward thinking about it and analyzing I know we always talk about the getting set. I've always done it this way, so sometimes I don't even stop to think, oh, there could be another way to do this that would have a better outcome, you know? So really thinking about, like we said, it's like, oh, I'm home, I can't go to the movies. But I live in Oceanside, so I can go walk on the beach. I can go just spend time
read
with myself,
book.
Too, you know?
Hey.
Read a book outside, you know?
Yeah, get outside, get
in
some fresh air.
In the backyard.
Yeah, but that was the whole thing. It's like, that's what I love about the 8 keys, is like no matter what happens, you have the structure, and you're able to change that once you have the foundation and structure. And I think that's the thing is like right now, parents and families and teachers, all three parts have to create a new structure, basically. The foundation is there. The content is there. The content's not going away. The teaching is not going away. The parenting and the child, all that isn't going away. It's about just, hey, let's have some glue, put it together. And you guys teach that. Here's the glue. We can do this. And here's the connectivity through the glue, but the glue's going to move back and forth. Elasticity. We're going to have elastic bands, all of us, you know?
I know.
That's what it is. So it's about unity, and it's all the same stuff. We just have to shift, and that's the flexibility key, is not doing the same things we've been doing the same way, but it's still the same thing. It's still the same important things, and sometimes we have to add and subtract and change. Change is inevitable, and that's what flexibility is. It's just not being stuck in that pattern. You always talk about pattern interrupt. And Nancy does that with dogs, don't you? Nancy, she'll be walking with the dog. You know, dog people, and a dog will do something, and she'll go, disallowed, pattern interrupt, right? That's it. So,
yeah.
So, funny how that happens. It really is. But we have to just change a little bit. And that's what I love about what you guys are doing, is offering that where, you know, people can come together. So with your online programs, you're working with students, teachers, and parents, right? There's something for each entity.
We are, and we're also really focusing in what makes it more effective, you know, when you're on a Zoom class with students. You know, you really look at that square, the box you're in, and how do you make the most of it, from your hand gestures or up more by your face, you know? And sometimes you can step back and know where the frame is. So our teachers, they can walk two steps one way, two steps another. They anchor different parts of the screen for with different voice tonality, with, you know, making a point. They have a different place they stand. If they have 3 points, you know, stand here for point one in this voice. Stand, take a step back, point two. Come closer for step three. It's just like looking at the effects they could use behind them, which is really kind of fun now. I mean, and then we had a teacher teaching us serious, like, you know, I mean, she's doing her thing, and she turns around and comes up, and she put on one of those internet nose and ears. You know, you can put on a pig or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Snapchat.
Yeah. There's things that you can do that are just fun, too. It's like a pattern interrupt. It's like, hey, wait, what did I say? And do a review with a funny cap on again. You know, so it's like getting their attention, getting them surprised, anchoring different parts of your little screen box. You can still do it. And so it just creates more like energy, enthusiasm. I don't know what to expect of her next, you know, it's or him. And it's like you just keep going through thinking, how do you really engage and then reach out and ask questions and acknowledge? Oh, we just start with deep acknowledgments. Acknowledgement for, I enjoy seeing you. I acknowledge you for showing up. You know, it's like, oh, wow, she cares.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the whole thing. It's as much as you can do interactive as possible. I mean, even when you think about Zoom parties, right? People are doing it for the holiday show. Everybody's going to have to bring something. You don't just show up. You've got to like, hey, this is what we're eating, or this is our whatever we're doing, or you wear something funny. I mean, think about Halloween. Like, everybody comes dressed up to a Zoom party. You still want to do it because it's keeping that tradition. So look at it that way, and that's how I look at it. Like, as, you know, teaching-wise, I'd be all like, hey, we're learning about Henry VIII today. Everybody come dressed as part of the scene if you can. You know what I mean? Especially,
yes.
You know, I think there's a little bit more you can do. And I think I know it's different for, you know, different economic brackets and maybe where you are regionally. But I think that there are ways around it. And I think that, you know, there are, I think they're moving towards making things a little bit better. But I think the more that schools can work with you, I mean, do you have a program with that so that the teachers and the schools can come on board and learn some of those interactive skills online so that they can carry it out to their students, so their students can be helped if the students, you know, may not be in the economic bracket to do individual courses?
Yeah, well, we still continue with our teacher trainings, and that's moved online really well. One of the benefits, because we normally, and that's good too, so I'm not putting that down, is live in person. They fly one of our facilitators to their school, and there's time and cost in that, you know, in travel. And when they get there, they usually stay for a day or two or three, you know, and they teach all day. Well, now the flexibility is they'll teach 2 hours, you know, maybe twice a week. And what's so great is we teach a skill, and then the teachers can implement it in their class and use it for a couple of days. How did that work? What was the reaction of students? Then come back for debrief for another 2 hours and learn a new skill. So I think, you know, learning over time and applying and reviewing and getting feedback and trying another way, you really learn it a different, you know, different way. So I can say things both for having an immersion over 3 days and also online doing it a couple of hours where they really get to practice in between sessions.
And what are you, on the parent side, I know that when people go to QLUniverse.com, they can see that there's something for the parents. Like, is it kind of like a secondary thing for when the students are going through a course, right? So that the parents kind of are unified with what the students are doing?
Yes, yes, it is. Yeah, we have a course. One of them is called Take a Stand for Your Greatness, What Sets You Apart. And at the end of it, the students do give their story. They tell their story. And we invite the parents to come on and hear about, you know, what they've done and learned, and also hear some of the student stories. So they have that courage, the students, to, you know, speak out and express themselves. So we're trying all kinds of things online, and just we've, you know, gotten the students where they just really care about the facilitators. You know, at the end of the course on one of them, the whole group of them just yelled out, you know, we love you, Claude. You know, it's like,
oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, but that's the thing I think is like, it is about, it's like, you know, there's never self-help for kids. And I always think that there should be that. And that's what Supercamp does. And what you're doing now with QL Universe, you know, is that online portion of it. I love it. I love that you guys are online. You know, Nancy and I, as soon as you said you're doing it online, you know, back in spring, and we're like, yay, because we've always wanted to see that, because we know that you can reach even more people and more students and teachers and parents, so that, you know, it's like the kids have that foundation of understanding. I, you know, we've been listening to all the things about students going into college and the amount of money they pay, and of course, this is a big deal right now of what's going on with education and college fees and all of that, and that's not the portion I want to get into. My thing is, students are going in there, and sometimes they may not, they may go in for change their minds on. They may go in to study something and think that that's what their thing is, but not really know, because they didn't understand to really dig into who they were beforehand. And maybe sometimes college just, hell, actually, this is really what it is. We all have that. We have second careers in life, you know?
Yes.
So they have that, and they have this huge debt hanging around their shoulders that they have to work off. And, you know, even just as lawyers, some of them, it's like this, it's the same price of a house. And if they don't go into it with that foundation, that's a mess. And from all the stories we've been hearing, it seems that a lot of times the ones that get more in financial trouble are the ones who didn't have that foundation of pay it off, do this, do that. You know what I mean? They didn't have that before they got in. They just, oh, I want to do this, got into college and got the debt on top of it. And a lot bailed out and never finished, so still had to pay that debt. So I think it's really important that students have that foundation before they get in there, so they know, hey, I'm in study and how to make the best of it and make the most of it once they're in college, so that it all makes sense. You know what I mean?
It is. It's knowing themselves first and then having these learning skills and life skills, so that when they go in, they're not overwhelmed and they have a plan, and when they're learning things, they know what kind of learner they are, and they're, you know, they know, and they also have the courage to speak out when they don't understand something. That's so important. Most students feel like, oh, I don't have the right, you know, to bother the teacher, interrupt the teacher, but get what you need. So it is so expensive to go to university and college, and you do want to be prepared and make the most of it. It's so important.
Mm. Well, we love what you're doing, and we appreciate it. And everyone, here's the thing. If you go to supercamp.com, you can go to their blog, and Bobby has an amazing amount of articles up there that you can access, and a lot of the, you know, all the facilitators have done things in there too. And also go to QLUniverse.com. And for Bobby's books that we were talking about, The 7 Biggest Teen Problems and How to Turn Them into Strengths, go to quantumlearning.com/books. Also, there's Excellence in Teaching and Learning, the Quantum Learning System. I know a lot of teachers out there right now are awesome teachers, and they're like, we are presented with so many challenges. I mean, teachers, you know, are always challenged, and this is just a huge world for them, right, Bobby? Right now, they need all the help they can get. And,
absolutely.
That book will help as well. And then, of course, there's the 8 Keys of Excellence. And speaking of the 8 Keys of Excellence, you can go to 8keys.org, the number 8, 8keys.org. There's a family program. There's a teacher school program. This is something you could implement right away to make communication more connective. Get, you know, for all ages, right, Bobby? It really is at the end of the day. It's for students.
Yes, it is.
You know, but all ages. So we really appreciate that. And thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. You take care. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yes, I hope so.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.